Hi everyone, welcome to the Divorce Girl Smiling Podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff and I'm your host. I am the creator and editor-in-chief of Divorce Girl Smiling, a website, a podcast, and coming soon an app. So today I am here with Leslie Glazer and we're going to talk about divorce and your house. So, hi, Leslie.
Hi, Jackie.
Nice to have you here. And we're actually in person. This is the first podcast that I have done with someone in person. I've done them over the phone and had guests, but we're sitting right here next to each other on the couch, and we have a glass of wine in our hand. No, we don't. I'm just kidding. Okay, so Leslie is a real estate agent for At Properties in Chicago, but she also has a special certification. She is a certified divorce real estate specialist. And that is really important. And she's going to kind of tell you why. But basically, it gives her a certification where she can answer all kinds of questions that other divorce attorneys simply haven't had the training in when it comes to divorce. And Leslie is also personally divorced, which I think gives her also an empathy to really understand what people are going through, don't you think, Leslie?
Absolutely. I mean, that's where I learned most of my skills and what I should have known.
Well, you just described my whole business. My whole business is based on telling people about the mistakes I made so that they won't make them too.
Yeah. And just advising people on divorce real estate just makes me so happy.
It's great. So I want to start off by asking Leslie a question. When people get divorced, I feel like one of the biggest things they say is, I just hope I get to keep the house, right? So yes. Tell me about that.
Well, I think you need to, yes, I do hear that all the time, but what's important is why. You know, why is it? Is it because you want it, because it's the trophy, because it's the battle, because for the kids?
Because you're comfortable there.
Yes.
Because moving might seem scary. What if I find a place and I hate it?
Right.
You know, what if, and also people might, you're right, the kids is probably the biggest reason, like, I don't want to do this to the kids.
Right.
So before, so I believe, and I think you'll back me up on this, Leslie, is that in some cases it makes sense to keep the house. In some cases it makes sense to sell it. In some cases, it makes sense to give it to your spouse, sell it to your spouse.
Right.
So, Leslie's going to talk about three things. She's going to give three real estate tips to ensure your financial safety after divorce, and this is as it pertains to your house. And I'm going to read you the tips, because Leslie wrote this in an article, and then she'll explain the tips. Okay, so the first tip in ensuring your financial safety after divorce is know your finances in detail. And you wrote here, it's a bad idea to even begin discussing your options and your wishes for your home if you don't have a complete picture of the total combined finances. So what does that tell me about that?
Well, it's, you know, Jackie, it's so important that parties understand and know what their loan balance is from the very beginning.
How much is left on your mortgage?
But that's not what's on your mortgage statement every month.
Okay.
And a lot of that's a big mistake that people look at.
So where is that number?
You have to ask your lender for a payoff letter. And the payoff letter will show late payments, if there are any. Maybe you refinanced or did a forbearance or a loan modification. Those things are not on the mortgage statement.
Okay, see, so this is just one of a million things that you have been taught in your certification. So I would never know this. If someone said, how much is left on your mortgage? I'd go to my latest bill, I'd look at the amount, and I'd say, oh, here's what I owe.
Yeah.
But you're saying it goes much deeper than that.
Exactly. And then if you are, everyone has that number in their head, and then you go to the closing table because you've, you know, either sold your home or your spouse deeded it to you, and you've got this extra $15,000-$20,000 that you didn't know about.
And how about, okay, so now I'm getting into another area. What about they're not taking into consideration the taxes that you're going to owe?
Correct.
And all that. Okay, so tell me some of the other things that pertain to knowing your finances in detail. Like, what else?
Right. So, well, one, it's important to know, what can you afford? You know.
And how does somebody know that?
It's really important to meet my clients, and I meet with a lender directly. So the two of us.
Lender, she's talking about a mortgage banker.
A mortgage mm-hmm. lender, correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And they will be able to assess if you are even able to stay in the house. How do you stay in the house?
Well, what about your financial planner?
Your financial planner is so important, but they're not going to tell you about a mortgage. So they can give you the broad spectrum of where to put your money, what to spend it on, your taxes, the amount you can spend in a mortgage. But a lender, a mortgage lender,
is going to tell you if you're going to get approved, basically.
Correct.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Anything else that you need to know about your finance?
Oh, wow, there's so much more.
I mean, do you know how many divorce people I talk to that never even realize that their name isn't even on the house?
Yeah, so it is really important to understand whose name is on the deed, which is the title, and then the separate component is whose name is on the mortgage. And if you are both on the mortgage, then you are married to each other, not only in marriage, but also in credit.
Mm-hmm.
So if you mm-hmm. keep the house in both of your names, and your spouse turns and does things that are not great with your credit, you are tied to that.
Well, I would say, hands down, even though I'm not a professional giving advice, but as a friend to everyone who's listening, if you're going to keep your house, you have to get a new mortgage with just your name on it.
100%.
I mean, I wouldn't even, and it's not that hard to do if you talk to the lender first. I mean, it's not a lot of paperwork. It doesn't, I mean, it is, but it doesn't take that long. It's not that big a deal.
No, the big thing is qualifying. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people want to stay, but they mm-hmm. don't qualify. They maybe haven't worked because they've been taking care of the children.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have the income ratio
right.
to do it. And what another thing that people don't understand is that you can't qualify unless you've had 6 months of child support payments.
Mm-hmm.
Before that,
because they want to make sure that the person is going to pay every month, right?
Yes.
Because they don't want you tied up in court trying to get your child support and you can't pay your mortgage.
And you have to make sure that the child is going to be 15 or under, because child support payments have to be for at least 3 years.
I see.
So after 18, they're going up.
See how much she knows? Okay. Number two of the financial tips is assess the home as if you were selling. So tell us about that. This is really important.
This is one of the keys when I went through divorce. So this is so important. You do not want to use Zillow or just an appraisal. An appraisal.
She means you don't want to use Zillow to get what it's worth. You know how you look online and it says
your Zestimate.
Yes. Your house is worth this. That is not a good indicator of what your house is really worth. So how do you get a good, more accurate?
Yes, because Mr. Zillow doesn't go into your house and see mm-hmm. how it is. It's mm-hmm. an algorithm. It's very important to, as Jackie, as you were saying, to make sure we do this as you sell, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're just refinancing.
Mm-hmm.
So you should have an inspection done on your home. You should see if there's any deferred maintenance that needs to be done. That is just so important, because if you just take the house because you want the house, and all of a sudden there's, you know, $20,000-$30,000 of deferred maintenance that you didn't know, or roof leaks you didn't know about, then you're stuck paying for all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really important.
So typical scenario, let's say you're working out your divorce settlement and then your attorney says, okay, if you give your ex $300,000, you can keep your home.
Mm-hmm.
But really, you may be able to give him or her $250,000, because by the time you do an inspection and argue, okay, the roof, we're going to need a new roof in 2 years, according to this inspector.
Correct.
Well, that, so now with all the repairs, the home is really worth $250,000.
Right, right.
Okay.
And that's why it's so important to assess it like you were selling.
Mm-hmm. Okay, number three, remember it's a business decision. And here's what you wrote. Emotions can be very strong and persuasive when it comes to the fate of the home you love. While that's totally understandable, it's important to try to take your feelings out of the equation. It may sound cold and callous, but it's the right mindset when it comes to planning your financial future. And I love what you wrote here. You wrote, no home is worth more than your well-being. So yeah. What does that mean?
You know, you might feel that you've had that home for that moment, but a month or a year goes by and you're strapped and you're paying every penny to stay in the house and you're house poor. You know, maybe you aren't able to do anything else. And is that really worth it?
Mm-hmm.
And the maintenance that you have to keep doing.
When you could move into a smaller, cuter, beautiful place that you can make all your own and then have all this extra money because you don't have this huge chunk for your mortgage and taxes.
And it's the next chapter of your life.
Although we aren't saying it's that everyone should sell their homes, but
no.
It's something to think about.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So the next thing I want to talk about with Leslie, where I think that she could be very, very helpful, is let's say you decide you want to put your house on the market. What should you look for in a real estate agent during your divorce? So what should you look for in a real estate agent that's different than you would look for if you weren't getting divorced?
Well, it's important that you work with someone that has been trained as neutral, because my job is to work for the house to get the most amount of money for the clients when selling. So obviously, most of our time when we list a place, if someone's married, they work together and their goal is to sell together. You have to be able to have experience in high conflict if that's the case.
Okay, now Leslie, do you have any experience where a couple goes to sell their house and one of the people is so angry that they're not willing to accept an offer? And, you know, they just keep saying, no, that's not enough, you know, or they are being difficult just to be difficult because of the anger.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
And that happens all the time. And one, with my training in high conflict, that really helps because I have a relationship with both and staying as neutral.
Mm-hmm.
The other piece to it that's really important is that I have a property listing agreement, which is imperative. And from the very beginning, we go through, the three of us, and we will make agreements on, okay, at 30 days, if it hasn't sold, what the...
Oh, I love that idea.
Yeah. And if an offer comes in, you have X amount of hours to get back to us. So we put everything in writing.
You've thought of every possible scenario of how some jerk who just doesn't want to make this work, and does the person sign something?
Yes.
And how strong does that hold up?
You know, sometimes if it doesn't, we will get their mediator, attorney
mm-hmm.
involved. Mm-hmm. But, you know, no one wants to spend more money, and we're trying to actually... That's the point of it, is to not spend a lot of money and time mm-hmm. with the attorneys and get all of this done. So I usually have the attorneys look at it after we've come to an agreement. But it's really, really helped, because not only have they signed, but all of those issues have already been brought to light.
Right.
So they've already thought about them.
Right. That's great. Okay, what about, what else should you consider when you are hiring your real estate agent? It says, you wrote here, does the person have strong negotiation skills? So tell me about that.
Well, that's imperative. I mean, any real estate agent that you hire should have, that should be one of the foremost.
And does it come down to, let's say you're asking for a certain amount and then the person says, you know, the buyer might say, well, I'm only willing to go to this amount. And then you really have to sell them on why they should buy at your price. It's mm-hmm. sales, mm-hmm. hardcore sales.
It is hardcore sales, but it's not just the price, you know. It could be, is there a home sale contingency or not? Are they willing to close in 30 days? Or maybe they want to buy as is and you know, the divorcing spouses don't want to do any repairs. So mm-hmm. It's a big picture.
Mm-hmm. Every case is different.
Yes.
Okay, and then you wrote, how does the person assess a property? But we already went over that. And then, is the person an expert in your area? So tell me about that. Your expertise is Chicago and the North Shore.
Correct.
So tell me why I should hire somebody who knows the area. It's sort of a loaded question, but people might not know. Mm-hmm. Like, don't hire your friend who specializes in Barrington, but she's going to come up to the North Shore just for you. Exactly. Why is that a bad idea?
You have to be able to answer every question and any question about the community, and you have to know the nuances mm-hmm. of that area.
Right.
I mean, why would you? You have to be an expert.
And doesn't it also help you with comps?
100%.
Because you sort of, even though you can look them up, you know what they're talking about when you look at a comp.
Yes.
You've been on that street. So you know, you can say, oh, that's that street. Well, that's a really nice street. I could see why it would be a few thousand more on that street.
The neighborhood, those nuances of things that appraisers don't know, you know, mm-hmm. like the schools or... Mm-hmm.
You right.
know, oh my gosh, this is the best trick-or-treat neighborhood. In
right.
the
right.
Area. But what I do is, if I am not an expert in an area, I pair with an expert, so they get two for one, and I do the divorce piece and help people through the process, and I co-list with someone who is an expert mm-hmm. in the area.
Okay. I'm gonna ask you one, I'm gonna give one more tip, because I want to segue this in. Can the person provide you with several references? So would you suggest that if somebody came to you and said, okay, do you have references, would that offend you, or would you want them to call clients?
100% want.
And the reason I'm segueing that is because I personally hired Leslie last summer. I had lived in my place when I was married, and I had been there for 14 years, and with COVID and everything and being home so much, I decided to look at places, and I found a place I really loved, and I called Leslie, and Leslie, I'll be perfectly honest with you, I was like, you know what, if I'm going to recommend Leslie to people on Divorce Girl Smiling, I better put my money where my mouth is and use her myself, because how can I use someone else, because I didn't really know, I wasn't sure. I hired Leslie. I have to say, it was the best experience, hands down. She sold my house and helped me buy the house that we're in now, that we're physically sitting in now. And I could not have been more pleased. And I would shout that out from the rooftop, which I do.
Thank you.
But, you know, it's such an important piece. It could... Like, I truly believe I would not have gotten this house without you. I think my sellers that I bought from were very set on the price. And if they didn't, if you had to sell them on selling it to me.
Yes.
So that's something that people don't even think of also. If you really want a place, your real estate agent can either blow it for you or they could get it for you.
You're right. Yes. There's so much of that is just, you know, the perception mm-hmm. of who you are.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right, I want to end on a really good note here, because I think a lot of people listening are thinking one thing, and we as divorced women, well, Leslie's remarried. Her divorce was several years ago, but, and so was mine, actually. But one thing that I think we will both never forget is the biggest thing when it comes to divorce in your home is fear. It's such a scary thing. So what can we tell people to make them feel better about the fear of either staying in a house that they may not be able to afford or leaving their home and selling it because they want to be more financially secure? And that you answer and then I'll answer.
Well, I think it's important it's empowering to know your finances and understand the whole piece, and the less you know, the more fear you're going to have, and the more you know, the more empowered you're mm-hmm. going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And That to me is just write everything down, get a binder, know every single piece of your mortgage, your insurance.
Like, get involved. Don't just listen to your real estate agent and your lawyer telling you, oh, it's fine. Just don't worry about it. Worry about it. Learn about it.
It takes a team. Don't rely on just one person.
Okay. And so what I'd like to say about fear is that I truly believe that a home, there's so little of it that is a physical location. Of course, you have to get a home, either stay in your home or buy a home that you feel really comfortable in, that you enjoy driving up to it when you get home, you're excited to be there. That's all important. And that it's in a nice neighborhood and that you feel very safe. Those are all important things. But what is the most important thing is that you are still a family with your kids, even though you're single, and that your home is still a home. It is a warm, kind, safe, caring place where lots and lots of really good things are going to happen in the home in the future. Like, if the home could talk in 20 years, it's going to say, they had wonderful lives here. It started out sad because the person who moved in was just newly divorced and everybody's pain was raw. But if the house could talk, the house would be saying, look how much she did. She was happy. She fell in love again. She got a job she never thought she could get. She did things that made her feel good and value her, make her feel like her life meant something. And at the end of the day, you know, that's really what a home is.
And you're going to create new memories instead of live on the old ones.
Right.
And that's so important.
Right.
And it really doesn't matter where, it matters who.
Right. I just love it. Leslie, thank you so much for being here and for talking about this very important subject. And
Jackie, it's so fun.
I'm so glad. And honestly, when I was working with Leslie, we became very good friends and I saw you all the time. And then I was missing you, you know, afterwards. I mean, and I will say, like, also, remember the nights I would call you and I'd say, what if I sell my house and I don't get this house? What if I don't sell my house and then I get the other house? And you just kept saying, it's going to work out. It's going to work out. And that was the perfect answer because it always does.
And because I truly believed in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it did.
I know.
I love your house.
I know, me too. Thanks. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. If you want to learn more, visit leslieglazer.com. She has her site will give you, you know, a lot of information that you need. And, of course, visit my site, divorcegirlsmiling.com. And we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Jackie.